Peter Tuz, president of Chase Investment Counsel, is here, and we're talking about stocks you want to overweight, underweight, or stay neutral on. Now, in the Money Life Market Call. It's Market Call time, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines what they're buying and selling, what they see happening broadly on the market today, and how they put it all together. And my guest today, Peter Tuz, he's president of Chase Investment Counsel, co-manager of the Chase Growth Fund, which is an all-cap growth fund, C-H-A-S-X, the ticker symbol, chaseinv.com, the website. And as I told you at the end of yesterday's show, this is going to be a different market call. Peter's been here many times, but he wanted to point out that, you know, while we've always talked hold it or fold it, buy, sell, or hold, that at times, especially in these kinds of market conditions, the nuance might be overweight, underweight, or neutral. So we are going to talk a lot more about that. But if you hear what we discuss and you want to go further and get more information, chaseinv.com is the website. Peter Tuz, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Hi, Chuck. It's good to be with you again as well.
Peter is here on the Gainbridge Hotline. Gainbridge provides direct access to trusted financial products that are guaranteed to grow your money over time without worrying about fees. Starting with $1,000, let the self-managed online platform give you the access and control to manage your money your way. Gain access, gain control, Gainbridge. Peter, we always start with methodology, but again, at your suggestion, it's not just what do you buy and sell, it's how do you decide, perhaps more so in these kinds of frothy conditions, where you want to tilt the portfolio. So explain first what makes it into your portfolio and then how you manage position sizing.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Well, we consider ourselves GARP investors. We've held up better than many large cap growth managers or all cap growth managers so far this year, largely because our methodology combines both fundamental and technical inputs. The fundamentals are things that we all know about: earnings growth, earnings surprises, return on equity, balance sheet strength, and so forth. We are looking for companies that have high and consistent growth, strong profitability, and decent balance sheets. What sets us apart from a lot of managers is the technical inputs that we use as a timing tool, both for purchases and even more so for sales. Our key technical indicators are relative strength signals, where a stock is trading at compared to its 50 and 200-day moving averages, and various price-volume metrics. At the end of the day, our biggest valuation metrics are just PE related to the historic norm for a stock and PE related to its growth rate. So, we use that to those metrics to both judge new purchases and to judge our existing holdings and to make a guess as to whether we should be overweight, underweight, or neutral a particular equity. Overweight, obviously, we think this stock has a lot of potential relative to the market. Underweight, we're worried about something. We might own the stock, but we don't want to own it in excess of the market. Neutral, exactly what it sounds like. You know, the stock is probably okay, probably will match the market. Not a great deal of risk there.
In terms of what that does for your portfolio in these kinds of conditions, how much will you trim? How often do you change things? How much does the market have to move for you to go, hey, we're kind of neutral, we're holding the right position, to we're tilting again?
Excellent question. It really depends on the volatility of the market and the volatility of what's working and not working in the market. This year, as you might expect, has been pretty volatile, so we've made a lot of changes. You know, if you think about the year, it kind of started out, there was with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, there was a big rush to commodities-oriented companies, anything in energy, anything in materials, anything in agriculture, started looking better and did well for the bulk of the year so far. However, in the last month or so, as the talk has shifted from inflation and stuff like that to the possibility of a recession, you've seen those groups back off, and nothing has really replaced it yet. You know, we're casting about for which stocks we think will do well in an environment that still has high inflation, but one where more and more people are convinced that we're going to step into a recession sometime in the next several quarters.
When you are looking for growth in a no-growth market, is it easier, harder to get into the portfolio right now? Are there things that you have to change? You know, how is the bar that the market puts on you compared to the bar that you put on what it normally takes to get to your portfolio?
The bar is obviously tougher. We do our screens for new stocks every week. And normally a screen is, if you hold a piece of normal typing paper sideways, you get about 50 lines to that page. And in the past, so far this year, most of the screens have been 2 pages long, basically somewhere between 50 and 100 stocks. What we noticed just in the last 2 weeks were that the number of companies coming through the screens was literally cut in half, 50 stocks. So you have a narrower universe of stocks to pick from. And the primary driver of this is, you know, is technicals. The fundamentals don't change that much in 2 weeks, but the you know, the relative strength of stocks, the upward momentum that we like to see, has just largely evaporated.
What stands out to you still? What makes it through these things to work for you?
I'll give you 3 examples of purchases in April and May. These are stocks that have come through the screens well, though one is starting to waver pretty good right now. The 3 stocks are AmerisourceBergen, Albemarle Corp., and Valmont Industries. You know, Albemarle Corp. is one of the bigger producers of various types of chemicals, but also a big producer of lithium, you know, the primary source for the batteries that go into electric vehicles. And they're going to have good growth. They should grow 12 to 15% for the next 5 years or so. But it's a very volatile group of stocks, the lithium miners. Amerisource, kind of at the other end of the spectrum, is one of the 3 leading distributors of pharmaceutical products. It competes with McKesson and Cardinal. Decent growth, growth of 7 to 9% probably from this year going out forward. Much more modest PE, say 14 compared to the, 30 or so of Albemarle Corp. Much lower beta as well, a beta of below 1 versus, you know, Albemarle's beta of 1.3. Valmont's kind of in the middle. Valmont is an industrial company that has, I guess, 2 major product lines. One would be equipment that is useful for the electric infrastructure of the country, towers, poles, all that kind of stuff. And then the other main business of Valmont is kind of irrigation equipment, the giant kind of circular irrigation systems that you see when you fly over the middle of the country. So that's probably it could be a 10-plus percent grower selling for about 18 times earnings and with about a 1% yield. Now, I like Amerisource and Valmont. Albemarle is just turning a little too volatile for me in today's world.
Ticker symbols on those: ABC for AmerisourceBergen, VMI for Valmont, ALB for Albemarle, and again, not all buys in there. And what makes you go, I'm out, like, we're done, we're walking away? And what's something you've had to move away from? Which sounds like it might be Albemarle, actually.
Well, you know, unless there's a change in Albemarle in the next few weeks, it probably is. It's weakening in our process. Significant earnings, negative earnings surprises are probably the most common big black eye for us. The other thing would be, and you don't see this bad very often, but some sort of negative regulatory or legal developments. If we owned Altria, for example, and the government just told us we couldn't sell our biggest non-tobacco product, I'm talking about Juul, that would change everything for us, and we probably would get rid of that stock. Something unforeseen and negative that makes the future unpredictable just generally is a sign for us to at least get out and let the dust settle and see what happens and maybe get back in down the road if we like the company.
Well, now it's time for us to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
quick and dirty.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
Yes, but overweight or underweight or neutral are ways that you want to go through life when you're investing. That's what we're talking about with Peter Tuz. This is unlike any time when we've done quick and dirty or hold it or fold it before that, because we've never been, hey, let's look specifically for overweight, underweight, or neutral. If you like this, this will be an option that we might wind up letting other folks do on the show. So let us know what you feel as you listen to this. Chuck at moneylifeshow.com is how you reach me. It's also how you get in to test our guests with your picks. I should remind my audience, of course, Peter Tuz is president of Chase Investment Counsel, chaseinv.com, to learn more about him, the firm, and the Chase Growth Fund. We start today with a request from Richard in Chula Vista, California. It is the biggest of the big. It's Apple, AAPL.
Chuck, Apple is a shareholding of ours, and I'm going to give it an underweight right now. Obviously, it's a great company with great products. I'm calling you on an Apple phone, I'm looking at my Apple Watch, and I'm reading my iPad as we do this. But I'm worried about earnings for the next few quarters and valuation. I think, you know, earnings growth of 9 or 10% this year, maybe 6 to 8% next year with a PE of 20 to 22, three times your growth rate. It just is cause for concern, and there's enough turmoil with the slowdown in China and the lack of a real significant new product to make me wonder if they're going to have a couple of good quarters coming up. So I'd say underweight Apple right now.
And now for the profit taking.
You may be taking a little money off the table, or you're certainly not adding to it. It's not a sell. It's an underweight on Apple. That's that methodology that we're using here today. Let's move to another request that Richard in Chula Vista is in. He shares this with Mike in Redwood City, California. They both wanted to know about Hilton Grand Vacations, HGV.
Hilton Grand Vacations is a timeshare company. I've actually seen a property or two of theirs, I think, in Hilton Head, and they're beautiful properties. You know, if we're entering a recession, people can put off buying timeshares. It's not a necessity. It's really a luxury. The company has a fair amount of debt and is a very volatile business, as one might imagine. I'm going to give Hilton Grand Vacations an underweight right now as well.
Warning, warning, warning.
If you can see trouble ahead, that's where you're going to underweight it. If we were dealing in buy, sells, or holds, we might have been dealing with a slightly different term there. It might have been why you're avoiding or at least underweighting HGV. Dale in London, Ohio wants to know about TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing.
Taiwan Semi is the, what is it, the 800-pound gorilla of the semiconductor manufacturing industry. They make chips for just about everybody in the world. They're kind of the technological leader in the business. The stock has come down a lot. The stock has come down at least 20, 25% from recent highs and is, you know, pretty reasonably valued at about 15 times earnings. They should have good growth going forward. You know, everybody knows we've been in a chip shortage. We will come out of that shortage, and TSM will gain market share as we come out of that. The big risk with Taiwan Semi, and we all know this, is will China do something with Taiwan, which would affect that stock tremendously? So I'll call it a businessman's risk, but I'm going to go overweight with Taiwan Semi.
So a businessman's risk, which means that it is a cautious buy.
Buyer beware, dude.
On TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing. Ellen in Harbor Springs, Michigan wants to know about Potlatch Deltic Corporation, PCH.
Potlatch Deltic is one of, I think there are two or three other timberland real estate investment trusts out there. In general, in periods of higher inflation, timberland is a good investment. But with the housing industry in the U.S. and the volatility of timber prices right now, I'm going to give Potlatch an underweight. I was reading the other day where timber prices have dropped something on the order of 50% from where they were a year ago. I read today where new housing starts or sales were off 3 or 4%. You know, a big producer of lumber has to be affected if the housing industry slows down. Good yield, pushing 4% yield, but you can get that yield in other real estate investment trusts right now that are not in as risky an industry as Potlatch is.
Just
go slow and be smart.
So again, you've got a company that, on the one hand, looks like it should be in a buying space given its industry, but that was an underweight on PCH, yes. Potlatch Deltic. And last, in the limited time we have left, for Lance in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Cisco Systems, CSCO.
Cisco is, what do I call Cisco? The internet networking, security, voice over the internet kind of conglomerate. The company has been, I think they missed or guided down in their last quarter, citing supply chain shortages. If I recall right, they had a fair backlog of orders, but they couldn't fill the orders because of shortage of semiconductors, which eventually will go away. Stock is reasonably valued, probably about 14 times earnings, 3+% yield. Not bad in today's world, but one quarter where they missed earnings and guided down makes me worry about what's going to happen in the June quarter. So I'm going to give it an N until the situation clarifies itself a bit.
So
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
Yep, it is not overweight, not underweight. It is neutral. And that, of course, is Cisco Systems, CSCO. We are not neutral about Peter Tuz. This was great, Peter. I really like the difference and the change. I'll find out what my audience thinks. But either way, we'll have you back to do this again down the line. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Chuck.
That's Peter Tuz, the president at Chase Investment Counsel, co-manager of the Chase Growth Fund, CHASX. Learn more at chaseinv.com. We'll be back to wrap up today's show, let you know where Peter agreed or disagreed with some others, and also we'll tell you what's coming next week, which will be a spectacular week on the show. So stick around. Finish line's in sight.